Hello and welcome. At this time, I'd like to start to talk a little bit about some of the models that we use in the Overcoming Sales Call Reluctance training. Now, for those of you that have come through the training already, this will be review, but I still suggest that you go through it. And then for those of you that have not been to the training, certainly pay attention because these are the models that you're going to see over and over again throughout the 30 days. So we want to get you to a point of understanding of these and how they work and how they will impact your business. Now, the first model I want to explain to you is what we call the E plus R equals O model. So the E in this model stands for event, the R stands for response, and the O stands for outcome. What this really means is that for every outcome we've ever achieved in our lives, it has been the result of how we've responded to a previous event. I'll say that again. Every outcome we've ever achieved in our life is the result of how we've responded to a previous event. So when we're getting, you know, not so good outcomes, we have a choice to make. We can either blame the events in our lives, events being things like, you know, the economy, the weather. We can blame our spouse. We can blame our less than positive past. Or we can simply start to change our responses until we start to get the outcomes that we desire. For example, let's say you have an appointment scheduled and this person doesn't show up. Well, that's the event. One response could be to pack it in for the day and go home and watch Oprah. And certainly that response would bring one particular outcome, which would mean that you would really achieve not too much for that particular day. Or you could respond differently. Instead of going home and watching Oprah, you could use that time that you were going to be on that appointment to do some more prospecting. You could make some more calls. You could head out to the mall and introduce yourself to some people that might be interested in your product or service. There's a lot of different things that you could do. But it's your response that actually determines the outcome. It's not the event itself. So what we're suggesting here is that you take control of what it is that you can control. Now, we can't control whether or not a person shows up. We can certainly do things to increase the probability that they'll show up, like do, you know, confirmation calls or things like that to make sure that they know that the appointment is still standing. But ultimately, it's really up to the other person as to whether or not they show up or not. And we can't really control that. But what we can control is how we respond to it. And it's the response that determines the outcome. Now, if you think back, you know, into your life, and you can think of other people that have had horrible circumstances handed to them, but they have still found a way to succeed. I'll give you an example. I like to talk about Danny Gokey. Danny Gokey was a person that was on American Idol a couple of years ago. And Danny lost his wife about 30 days before the contest started. She passed away. Now, his response could have been at that time to feel sorry for himself. It could have been to just pack it in and sort of give up and not compete. But instead, he chose to respond in a way that said, I'm going to compete, and I'm going to compete in, you know, in her honor. So he went on to finish third in the competition, and then he ended up signing a record deal as a result of his performance in the competition. So, yes, he was confronted with a very difficult event, but his response was an empowering one. He used it to his advantage, and he went on and he achieved an extremely awesome outcome as a result of how he responded to the event. So the goal here is to start to get control of our responses. If we know our responses determine our outcomes, how do we get a better control of our responses? And the answer lies right between the event and the response. Something happens between the event and the response. And as you can see, if you look at your manual, in between the event and the response, we tell ourselves a story about the event. In other words, we interpret the event, and we interpret the event based on, you know, our own perception, based on our experience. Let me give you an example. You're in a grocery store, you turn down the aisle, and you see your spouse talking to an attractive member of the opposite sex. What's your first thought? If your first thought is he or she must know that person from work, that's going to create one response. If your first thought or your story is he or she is having an affair, that story will complete or bring about a completely different response. So the question here is, are we really responding to the event at all? And the answer is no. We're always responding to the story that we tell ourselves about the event. So if your story is an empowering story, then that's going to create an empowering response. If the story is disempowering, then it's going to create a completely different response. Let me give you another example. For those of you that have a job, think about, you know, sitting in your cube, and then your boss comes over behind you and says, "You and me, we have to talk in my office right away." What's your first thought? Well, your first thought is, "Oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done wrong? I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get laid off," something along those lines. So that story that you told yourself about the event simply being your boss tapping you on your shoulder and saying, "We need to have a conversation," that story creates a fear response. And then that certainly creates an outcome as to how you behave. Now, isn't it possible that your boss could be inviting you into his or her office to give you a promotion? Isn't it possible that your boss could be inviting you into his or her office to tell you how great you did on a previous project? It is possible. But isn't it interesting that that's not the story that we typically tell ourselves in that moment? Realize that your response is always to the story, not to the event itself. So there's an exercise I want all of you to do. Take some time to think about this and write this out. And you can see the exercise. It says pick a person who you are afraid to call in your business. This could be a prospect or a customer, maybe even a past customer or someone who previously turned you down. Write down why you're afraid to call this person. Describe all the reasons for your fear as if you were talking to a friend. So at this time, what I want you to do is I want you to stop the tape and go ahead and do that. And then come on back and we'll talk a little bit about facts versus stories. Okay, welcome back. Let me explain quickly, because we're talking so much about stories. Let's talk a little bit about the difference between what's factual and what's a story that we tell ourselves. Fact, first of all, is a fact is something that we can see or hear. It's something that is observable. You know, this is a table. I'm sitting at a table. This is a table. That's a fact. This is a chair. That's the wall. Those types of things are all facts. Another fact might be Mary has 3 children. That is very factual. It's always going to contain verifiable data. Facts always contain verifiable data. And a fact is something that if most people were to look at it, most people would readily agree that what you're saying is true. In other words, saying that this is a table and this is a chair, everybody is going to agree that that is true. It's factual. Now, stories are conclusions that we make or conclusions that we draw with regard to fact. Let me give you an example. The fact might be Mary has 3 children. Now, the story would be Mary has 3 children and she won't be interested in the opportunity because of that. Saying that she won't be interested in the opportunity because she has 3 children, that is a story. That is a judgment that that we are adding to the facts. So that's what we have to look out for. Is it's those stories that we tell ourselves. It's those stories that we tell ourselves that actually create our fear. Now, if we think back to the E plus R equals O model, when you think about fear, the only change that you make to that model is you would put the letter F, that's F like Frank, in front of the E. And the F would stand for future. So future event response equals outcome. Your future event plus your response equals your outcome. Think about this. Think about how it fits when it comes to fear. The future event might be calling on an attorney, for example, and seeing if they would be interested in testing out your products. That future event of making that phone call is going to trigger a story about that particular attorney. And if you are telling yourself a story along the lines of, well, she's an attorney, she's not going to be interested, she has a really high-end job, she probably makes a lot of money, she's probably really busy already, she wouldn't be interested in this opportunity. That story is going to create a response of, well, probably not going to call. You're not going to pick up the phone, you're not going to dial, you're not going to contact that person. And then the outcome naturally is going to be that you're not going to get another client as a result of your inability to pursue this person. So, you know, let's change that and change the story. If your story was, I'm going to call Mary, she's an attorney, she might be really interested in my opportunity because her job might be too stressful, she's going to be really interested in my opportunity because her job requires her to work too many hours, she wants to spend more time home with her kids. If that's your story, your response is going to be completely different. In other words, the likelihood that you're going to pick up the phone and call her is greatly increased because now you're telling yourself an empowering story about Mary rather than a disempowering story about Mary. And we're going to talk about stories over and over and over again throughout this 30 days because that's where the answer lies. The answer to getting through our fear and pushing through our fear and getting out of our comfort zone lies in our ability to recognize the story that we're telling ourselves, recognize that the story we're telling ourselves might not be accurate, and get ourselves to take action. And when we start to take action, that's when we start to see the results that we truly desire in our lives. Now, if we look back to, if we look back to the exercise where we said to pick a person that you are afraid to call in your business, what I want you to do now for part two of this exercise, let me just read to you what part two is. It says, looking back at what you previously wrote, how did you describe why you are afraid to call this person? Did you use mostly facts, objective, observable things, such as she is a mom with four kids, or did you use mostly stories, subjective conclusions based on facts, such as she is too busy to be in business for herself? What we want you to do now in part two is we want you to describe the same situation again, but use only facts that other people could verify. So what we want you to do is go back to that first paragraph that you wrote about why you're not calling that person, and we want you to eliminate all of the stories and only write down what's factual. And again, what's factual might be she works 5 days a week. It might be factual that she has three children and she's married. But all of the conclusions that you have drawn with regard to those facts, those are actually stories that you're telling yourself. So we want you to remove the stories and write only facts. What most people find is that when they go through this, there's very few actual facts that back up their fear and really support their call reluctance. Mostly, our call reluctance is based on stories. So go back through, take part in that exercise, and then we will come back and we will start to go through the next tool, which is something that I like to refer to as story versus reality.